We're moving on in Romans.
I expect to finish it.
Not today. Not today. The 28th verse, we have dwelt long and carefully through the format of the whole book. 21st verse through the 26th. We camped out a while at the 27th verse and went on a third chapter, 27th verse, an excursion in praise. Came back, concentrated particularly last Sunday on Paul's use of the word nomu here, which among the varied meanings of the word, and I'll go to it on the board in a moment, the Greek allowed different uses of the word. We translate law, but in this context, Paul was speaking of sacred law. And the Hebrew translation back from the Greek to the Hebrew early on, and from the Greek to the Arabic early on, picked those exclusive words, Torah, in the Arabic, Sharia, holy law, and not different dimensions of the same law, different laws from the same source. There was a law of works that promised life for doing it, and listed the deeds to be done, and death if you fell short, even a second. And with Jesus' interpretation, the thought was as bad as the deed. Everyone's hopeless. But now, the gospel brings a new relationship, a new covenant, faith's law. Faith's law from the same God, which is a law we're capable of moving into, doing, growing in, having. God does what we can't do that the other law demanded. And now we move to the 28th verse, made famous by Luther, but I want to work my way to that stunning translation of Luther, maybe next Sunday. But I've written on the board the text and handed out to you a piece of paper. You all have it? Which has the traditional Greek translation. The Greek is, as I've written it, I hope, on the board, logizomatha, logizomatha. Now, that word is translated in the piece of paper I handed out to you. We consider. Is that what you have? We consider, which is a Greek translation that has all these codes that will help you. Now, do you notice under that, and I'm sure you people watching on shortwave can see this, we consider. You see underneath the phonetic pronunciation of logizomatha, you have V-I-P-N. You see that? That's telling us it's a verb. And it's telling us it's in the indicative. So we have a verb, and it's in the indicative. Mood. Now, the Greek has very precise ways of expressing itself in grammar, and as hard a work as it is to learn it, it's worth it. Now, mood, oversimplified. There are others, optative and imperative moods. But the two prominent moods are indicative and subjunctive. Now, I don't know why it talks about mood. I don't know why they choose words like case. I don't know why they use words like voice. I'm studying the Sanskrit to try to figure out where all this came from. I don't know why they use moods. I mean, I'm fighting a mood right now when I look at surgery tomorrow. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about whether the statement is something that is Or if you want to be very subtle, at least is honestly viewed by the sayer as is. And when God's the sayer, that is. When he says something, it is. Subjective is potential or possibility. This is something that is right now, indicative mood. Now, you've learned that much. It's the indicative mood. The T is present. So, it's right now a fact. Indicative mood, right now a fact. And then we have, in addition, the N there, which is middle voice. Something we don't normally have in English. Now stay with me on this grammar, because we're going to state a fact. A fact that is right now. Present. Middle voice tells us the way the subject participates in the action. And in this case, we join with Paul. That's why he put it in the plural. We join with Paul, if you believe God's word at all and have followed his logic of the wondrous works of God's grace, it brings us to not only the state where there's no boasting on our part, that's gone. We can boast in God. And we have come to a point where we, as close to the Latino people that are here, as close to the reflexive, we have come to the point ourselves where we are gripped now in the present with the fact we're not looking on as third party. We are part of what this word says. And notice the root of that word, the rest of it is just grammatical things telling us all the rest of this, is logos. You recognize anything in that, like logos? You remember all the teaching back in Ephesians, of way back in the history of the language somewhere? Leg and log separated. But they had an original root that meant simply to choose out from among that which is not chosen. Remember that? Choose out from among that which is not chosen, and the choosing action, that which did the separating and defining and choosing out by word. Word. Log and leg have as the root intertwined, choosing by word. I taught this in Ephesians when one of God's names or traits is eulogia. He is going to feed, deliver, activate, and make his blessings by a word. That's why this church is rooted and grounded. How do I say it without offending? In you, no. In his word, which turns God loose to be the gracious God he wants to be through his word to you. I want that theme back there to forever be the theme of this church, forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven, for thy word rains your blessings down. My mouth is unimportant. Buy an end to the positivity and the various cafeterial branches of make you feel good with my words. I departed from that years ago. I prefer you forget who I am. If this word can open up and you can understand that God determined, he created us in his image. He determined, took maybe 30 years for Reinhold Niebuhr to finally run into Martin Buber's the I-Thou relationship, the great Jewish theologian, to find the essence of the relationship that separates Christianity and Judaism from all the other religions of the world. It's an I-Thou relationship. It's a talking relationship. It's a speaking relationship. God does promise speak, eulogia. And we do faith speak as we talk back to God claiming His promises. God determined from the beginning. The same God who spoke His word and nothing became everything. The same God who revealed Himself with the Logos, the one who could speak and did speak these worlds into existence, turned from facing God to strike a tent in human flesh and spoke the words of eternal life. Choosing by word is God's method, and faith speak is buying into God's method as a receptor. We've got ourselves tuned into the transmitter. Thus, this word embraces choosing out from among the word separated. Let me just review a little of the Ephesian teaching. The two words went different directions as they split in the language. Leg became the basis for words to choose, and log became the basis for talk and speak and word. But they were both embodied, and when we have words based on logos, logis, we're talking about decisions made, choices made, convictions resulting from words that separate out from options. What all this then boils down to is the arguments thus far in Romans are saying, that's why you can't boast about yourself at all. The arguments are saying, we, from the words thus far, Paul is saying to his congregation, we, by these words, must ourselves make a choice, and that choice is, for we are pushed into the corner and convinced of the choice, and we thus consider, all of that's there, for we thus consider, what is this thing? To be justified. Is that what you see? See, even the Greek that most of you, if you go and try to study, are going to find on the shelves, is this legalistic separation. Look at the word. You don't even have to read Greek. Look at the transliteration or the phonetic. Say it with me. Dikai ustai. D, come on. Dikai ustai. Dikai, right? How many notes have you got in your margin that it's the same word, whether you're talking about the King James says justify and righteousness. It's the same word. It is a verb. That we know. The end tells you it's the infinitive, like our to be or to do. And it's in the passive. That's what the P means there. It's in the passive. Present passive, there's two P's there, PP. Verb, infinitive is what the end means. I didn't bring that code, but I can tell you. You that can read the Greek know that. Verb, infinitive, passive, or present passive. Passive means you're not doing a thing. It's happening to you, right? You understand that? I mean, you're going to be a real Greek scholar when I finish this verse alone. This means not to be justified, to be righteousified or made righteous. Don't you like to make up words and add it to the English language because somebody didn't do it right? And I'm going to break the statistics on cancer too, but that's another subject. We are now indicative, have come to where we see it as fact, not potential. Now fact, present. Forced to it by God's Word, which we join with and make a choice. Make the choice that Paul has been hammering at all along. Be gone with this works of law. Be gone with this righteousness based on do this and don't do that. Be gone with me being able to somehow achieve righteousness until God owes me righteousness. That's out the window. We now know words from God have convinced us and forced us in our mind through words to choose. Now, this is the fact. Amen. To be justified, no, to be righteous, by faith, remember Kores, apart from, a chasm between, a chasm, a great gulf between, chasms apart, from the works, ergon, of, since it's in the genitive, of the law. Now, you have numbers on your words here in the Greek, right? Now, number one, written alongside is in the Greek style of writing, because they put the most important word first in the sentence, no matter what the prepositions or conjunctions may be. Gar, in this case, for, which is always explaining in the rhetoric of Paul's day of Greek arguing, all that has gone before is now coming to this conclusion. For, number one, for, number two, this word that we've expanded considerably, they simply say we consider. For the Word of God and our reception of it forces a choice through those words out from among other choices like righteousness by works or by belonging to the band. For we consider, number two, number three is amen. Anthropone, where are we? Yeah, right here. Amen. Anthropone. All mankind, whomever they may be. There's only one inference. We consider amen. What's number four? They said to be justified, right? Are you looking at it? And I said, for is to be righteousified. For we consider anthropon, a man, dikaiousthai, to be righteousified. And what's number five? Pistai, by faith. That's number five. Chorus, apart from, I've added the meaning, it's chasms apart from, and in the genitive, if you look at ergon, you got noun and a dash, and the G means the genitive, which is the source or generating case or origin. Apart from originating in the works of the law, and I think I've proven Paul's talking Torah, but just to add to it, the translation of this back into the Hebrew, for ergon, they have the same word in last Sunday's text, theali, works, not an ordinary word for law, which the Hebrew has, but rather of the ha, to, HaTorah. HaTorah. Ali. Works. So again, he's talking about God-ordained law. Now, with all that work, I'm sweating too. You understand how we can look now at this King James and say what Romans 3 reads in the King James, therefore we conclude that a man is scratch-out justified, that a man is righteousified by faith without the deeds of the law, and scratch that out and put Torah in, because he's talking about holy law. You're on the same page with me? That means faith does it all. Faith. Now, what is faith? Well, it's action. I don't want to preach today like you've never heard me preach before. Not that it's going to be greater. I mean, I'm going to act as though none of you ever heard a sermon by me before in your life. So, you know, tune out if you think you know everything, because I've covered this. Action based upon belief. There's your B. Sustained by confidence. That is what pisteo means. Pistis being the noun. Pistue, or pistuo. That, and pistons, and piston, various cases determine the end. That's true, even in modern Greek. And it translates Hebrew words, you know well, batak. And hasa. And amen. You know those words. Batak, lean on something for support. Hasa, run to a shelter. Amen, unwavering, no doubt, certainty. I don't doubt it for a minute. My faith is coming to a confidence level of God Himself, who amens His own word and is the true and faithful God, that when He says it, He's going to make it happen, so He has no doubts. When you reach the amen stage, you can practice and tentatively lean on a promise. You can run thinking the promise will shelter you. When you're at the amen level, you have no doubts. You develop the amen level by acting in faith to lean on His word and run to His word for a shelter. Pistuo and the pistis words translate all of these. Again, like nomos. Nomu can refer to any kind of law in the Greek. The context tells you, when he's talking about holy law, and the transcription sideways that we do, show the understanding in the earlier centuries of what Paul meant. Likewise, pisteo, I tested it all across Greece, still means acting based on belief, sustained by confidence. You can't move, breathe, and live without faith by that definition. You have faith in the traffic code when you go through a green light that people will stop at the red. You have faith when you walk that gravity still works. I have faith in a surgeon. Tomorrow, I have an immediate medical problem. A blocked kidney, not completely blocked, partially blocked. If allowed to totally block, I'll lose the kidney. I've opted surgery with the best surgeon I can find. A stent in the kidney and opening up the blockage. I have faith in the anesthesiologist because he's the one, the doctor that I know and is the best that I can find in everybody's agreement in this Southern California.
maybe in the world, to perform the surgery, and I will act on the belief and the confidence that the anesthesiologist will put me out in 2.5 hours, maybe a bit dazed. I'll say to my wife, who will be at my bedside after the surgery when I come out, "Hello, baby." And that's ordinary faith. But God figuratively puts a capital letter on what old theologians call saving faith. That's action based on belief, sustained by confidence that when God says a word, which we have in this Old and New Testament, when God's word, which is in the category of the promises where we can claim the word, all the promises of God from 2 Corinthians in Him are yea, and in Him amen. When it is action based on belief, God said it in confidence He will do it, and hanging your body on that. That's the saving faith that wraps up these actions all along. So now I know when I am hanging my body in action on God's word, which is separate from the words of other sources, when I grab His word, I'm like Jesus, whose faith got our salvation, because to death, into thy hands I commit my spirit, with the faith, in his case, because it was promised immediate, that on the third day, God would keep his word and raise him up, and he did. That's acting, even hanging your life on. God said it, he'll do it. We learn to do that as we walk this walk of faith. I think God, in fact, I'm certain God said this. I'm going to lean on it. You're not always on time, but just when I think it's going to fail me, for nigh on 50 years of preaching His word, He's come through. When I run to a promise shelter of His word, I hunker down sometimes. More hope than amen. And He comes through. That, not always on the same thing, brings you to an amen level. I know in whom I have believed. I have no doubts. He'll come true. That is what this verse is saying. And for that faith, as we will find when we turn into the fourth chapter, for this faith, He is making us to actually be righteous. He's doing a work in us. He's taking us as though we're a finished work and putting His Spirit in us as the finisher. The important thing for me today is to take a leap and illustrate how this faith works. The verse is clear. We are forced by His word to a choice. We will be made righteous by Him only because we're faithing. Period. Not works. Thank God some of us fall so far short in works. All of us, really. We're without hope. He paid the price for our sin. And now, like the new husband of Romans 7, He extends a hand through His Spirit and can pick us up and keep us and make us to be righteous, take us as righteous and make us to be righteous as long as we're faithing. Now, I, I'm sure, have become as pastor a voice for you when you really need faith. I didn't have any preacher I could go listen to today. I had to be here. So you listen in while I preach my life story. The sermon, it's one of the, what we call nitro pills that I've gone to four corners of the globe again and again. And I want to preach it today as though you never heard it. You've heard it 30 times. I want to preach to myself for the months ahead and for the surgery tomorrow. Psalm 84. Blessed is the man. Turn there. I said I'm going to preach as though you never heard it before. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart, fifth verse, Psalm 84. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart, the King James will say, are the ways of them. Ashri Adam. Ashri Adam, you're probably already on the page. Ashri Adam. Eos lo. Eos lo. Blessed is the man. The strength, or strength to him. This is the addition on of the preposition with the pronominal suffix to him. Ashri, blessed. Adam, already written it. Strength to him now. How did I preach this the 30 times previously? I would tell you to underline letters. First, blessed. Will you do it? Now, I'm going to take this verse today and teach myself again how to turn my current circumstance into a fading opportunity, which, if it guarantees nothing else, guarantees my righteous entrance into life where there are no tears and where health is eternal. This is what I do, like a cook in a kitchen that knows the key ingredients when you have to prepare a dinner. I'm preparing a faith dinner for Gene Scott today, and I'm inviting guests. Blessed. What kind of blessing is this? I've been teaching you all the praise words. This is not Baruka. This is not Baruka. This is not eulogia. This is another word. Ashri. There's a tribe of Israel named Asher. It means to be a recipient. The Greek has, in the Septuagint version, the Greek has an interesting word that translates it. Is it written in my Bible somewhere? Am I boring you? Doesn't matter. I need the message. Just thought I would tell you that. I've got to get to Psalm 84. The Septuagint version translates this word, Makarios. Sounds like that dance that hit the country during Al Gore time, which he couldn't dance. Remember that? The Greek word means privileged recipient of divine favor. I heard someone preach on TV a few weeks ago that he found some remote translation that would change Ephesians 6 to put on the breastplate of righteousness to put on the breastplate of God's approval. Divine favor comes now only to faithers. And faithers become special people because they are receiving as privileged people. Now, I never looked on a blockage in the kidney as a necessary catalyst to become favored of God. I thought it only made me hard to pee. That's just in case you were tuning me out. And you're going to see how this condition puts me in the position to be privileged. Privileged. When I wheel out of that, on that gurney in the pre-op room, just before I pass out, I'm saying, honey, get ready, I'm getting ready to be privileged. Because I'm going to practice faith that guarantees I become Ashri, a privileged recipient of God's favor. I've translated it for years. The reason the word is different than other words for blessed, we're prone to define blessings with destination points. Destination points. We get this blessing here and we got this blessing at that place. This describes a condition of continued blessing, privilege, peace. You'll sometimes find the word happiness, joy, no quality of which ever changes, is not affected by circumstance, situation, or externals. It is an inward peace. Now, I normally save this to the end of the message. I'm reversing the way I normally preach it because I need to get here in a hurry. Blessed is Adam. We're his descendants. It really state of blessing. None of the qualities of which change for us, the sons of Adam. The strength to him, preposition to him, oh, to him. The strength of him is what? Well, let's dig a little deeper. Bach. Now, this is not Baca. It's simply Bach, with a silent Shiva there, for you scholars. Bach. What's Bach? Well, it's a preposition. In, preposition in, him, in, him, preposition sometimes translated with him, occasionally and rarely by him, but in this case, it's in him. There's a state of blessing we can reach, all of us from Adam, that face these trying times. I know some of you struggle to get here with the crash of events. And there are many kinds of trials and tribulations One that is more difficult because I argue with God about what's included in the atonement and keep knocking on his door. But nothing can be more debilitating, for which you would give away all your possessions, than loss of health. For health, nothing else matters. And when sickness comes, how do you keep the state of blessing? Well, the state of blessing is blessed with the meaning I've given you. Is the man or Adam the strength to him, which means it comes from outside us first, and the source is in him. Now, I've more simply translated in the English, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. But how do I get his strength in me? I've taught you enough, you know. Romans 8, I'll get there. When he's in us, we're in him. That's the righteousifying action of God. He puts his nature in us. And when he is in us, we are in him. And I've already quoted all the promises of God. In him are yea, and in him amen. All of them. As long as I'm in him. How do I get in him? Christ is formed in our heart by faith. Round the circle to the same point. The righteousing agent comes in us. The righteousing one who said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, is in us. When we take that grip on a promise, which I'm going to do right now, having stated, the blessings won't change to the man whose strength to him is in him. And in whose heart are the ways of them, and it's added in the italics of them by the King James. The Hebrew is very simple. The highways of the Lord in them. And that word highways is really interesting. I haven't time to rip all the words apart. But it was used, as all the ancient Hebrew scholars pen, by the pious in Israel, who would use that word to speak of the ascent to Zion, which was a type of our climb to our Zion eternal. It speaks of that spiritual trip that he planned for us to home eternal, the highway. You never called a street sign by that name, never called a city street by that name. It was the highway to Zion. The old song, we're marching to Zion. This verse is saying, there's never going to be a change of the state of blessing to any of us when the strength to us is in him. And the strength to us comes when we're squeezed, if necessary, into a tighter grip of faith, whatever the circumstance. He is with me, will never leave me, and as I'm faithing, is in me, and that source of strength is that kind. I even drew a pun of the Uzi gun of the Israelis. Uzi type strength. That is from out in God, when he comes in us, is inward strength to face anything, because he gives to us that strength as we take our grip of faith. And when that happens, we can finish the verse that I used to start with. Who passing, that's a verb that means there's no settled stopping point. We're on a journey. Change is built in. We are going to meet some new challenge every day as God develops our ability to hang on in faith and keep his nature in us, no matter what. Passing through the valley of Baca. Not Bach, Baca. Different letters, pronounced closely. Baca, which means weeping. Yeah. In other words, this blessed state, which gives strength to us in Him, when He's in us, is still there and incorporates the fact we're not separated from God, because on our trip we find ourselves in a valley of weeping. I've had it with those preachers that preach only the rosiness of the Christian journey and leave out those of us that are going through valleys all the time, passing through valleys of weeping. Old-fashioned theology used to say, when you're in a valley of weeping, because you've done something wrong. The devil loves to camp on your shoulder and tell you, you're to blame. Doesn't matter. Faith picks up, He's in me. I'm the privileged recipient of His favor. A state of unchanged blessing from Him. Heaven is my home. And strength will come from Him to face the valley that I'm passing through. If I'm to blame, God be merciful to me, a sinner. If I'm not to blame, don't beat me to death with some kind of martyrdom idea. It's part of the trip, folks, for this pastor as well as you. Passing through. Got that word through? Blessed men. Not any man, the man, to whom the strength is in Him. They pass through valleys of weeping, but they pass through. Underline, color it red if you got a marker. We pass through valleys of weeping. You've heard this before. Don't jump ahead in the message. Stop right where you are. You old timers. How many valleys did you think in these last 30 years? Some of you have been listening to me that long. You just wouldn't make it. Let me see your hand. What are you doing here? How come you're here? Blessed men go through. I want to tell you, I don't know if the doctors will know the help they're going to get. Yeah. Blessed men, valleys are part of the trip, folks, but we go through. Well, I've been in this one so long. I've been hanging on Psalm 84 since the first time I heard you preach it, and I've heard it 20 times more, and I'm still in the same valley. Shut up. Blessed men go through. Doesn't say how long the valley. Just the certainty that faith hangs on to. We are going to make it through. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. I'm not done preaching. I'm not done. Sit down. Blessed men go through. Hey, sit down. Go ahead. Go ahead. I want to finish my message. Sit down. Thank you for your faith. Just make sure you're doing that tomorrow at 12 noon. Is that who I think it is? Glad to have you, Mike. He's responsible and has been for years for our voice in Dallas. Nice to have you. Listen. Blessed men go through. But it says, they turn the literal, not what the King James says. King James says, let me read it. wrong. They make it a well. No, wells can be empty. They turn it into a place of springs. They make it a place of springs. That's where your faith measure comes out. Just whine and groan, beg and holler, or have the surety of pist, action based on belief and confidence of God's Word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. In the valley, you turn it into a place of refreshing other people. There are a few people I've gone to visit in hospitals. When I leave, I went in feeling bad, and they made me feel good as I came out because their faith so radiated. God expects us to be shining lights of faith, a testimony to unshakable grip. Now, Pastor, do you have it? No! That's why I'm preaching to myself today. I'll have it for them done this morning. And that's what you do. You pull God's Word out. Whichever one you're going to lean on, whichever one you're going to run to, and hopefully faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and you will come to the amen state. God can't say no then. That's what He wants. He tests us to bring it forth. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are His ways, the highways designed which He walks us on. And we quit complaining about having asked Him, dialogue with Him. We settle it. God enters into all things to work His good to them which are called according to His purposes. I don't understand it, God. And in this case, I think you're probably wrong. But I'll settle it finally and let Him do what He wants with me, and He'll bring it out. That's the promise. Every single time. And that attitude will turn it into a place of refreshing for others. Your valley of weeping can become an exemplary of faith to where others struggling can drink from that spring. Then God, He never on time, but it says the rain also filleth the pools, a bad translation, covereth the pools. The faith man in the valley has already turned it to a place of springs. The added blessing, which old-timers used to pray and pray, God will deliver me, and you wait for the latter rain. No, you turn it into a place of springs, and He covers water that's already flowing with His added blessing. These kind go from strength to strength, the Word no longer being oozed, which is His strength inside of us, kayil, which is add-on strength, which is used of hosts of armies that come to deliver, used of heavenly hosts that come and add their strength, used of that which God goes beyond the inner strength He puts in us to do His miraculous add-on work. When we have passed through our valley, or in our passing through our valley, or turning it into a place of springs and hanging on to His Word by faith, suddenly He adds the dimension. And these kind go from strength, kayil, to kayil. Every one of them on the highways appeareth before God in Zion. Now the beautiful footnote that I needed for today, He goes on to say, O Lord God, 8th verse of hosts, that's power unlimited, everything at His disposal. As I said, the doctor won't know who's helping him. Hear my prayer. Give ear. O God of Israel. O God of Jacob. It might leave me out if it said, O God of Israel. God kindly put in here, long after old Jacob had been changed into Israel, the prince that has power with God, Jacob, full of his faults, heel catching, Jacob who wrestled with God, and it was a draw until God crippled him. That still amazes me. argumentative, conniving. We Jacobs can call on the Lord of hosts. And the conclusion, I take it with me today. O Lord of hosts, blessed, 12th verse, Ashari again, state of being blessed, the man, and God reached down to me, not only with Jacob, he reached down to me today. He didn't say, blessed is the man that amens the Lord. I'm not there all the time. Blessed is the man, Batak, that simply leans on you. I'm leaning on him tomorrow. I'm leaning on him today. I want you to lean on him the rest of your life and take this as your certitude. God will enter in, I repeat it, into all things. He enters in. All things don't work together for good. The Greek has it clear. He enters into all things. Even these things, even this thing I face, to work his good to them that are the called according to his purposes. I'm persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, me and you, from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm faithing, no matter what, all the way home. He'll take care of the righteousness. I want you to do the same. And that's my message for today.